Bro.
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 Bro. Daniel Bryan is the 9/11 of WrestleMania 30. It's a joke, right? But out of context, that shit sounds terrible.
Heel Nakamura is best for business. The Nutcracker Prince, or whatever you want to call him. I'm all about it.
That's a t-shirt. Well, he was right about this. Well, of course he was, man. He also predicted three other things to happen with that same prediction. Like,
bro.
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 Say hello to the bald guy.
And bow down to your king.
This is Drive-By.
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike Shooter Marcus. He is King of Nerds, Mike Forrest, and we are the Mikes on Mikes. How's it going, King?
It's been a pretty fun week, man.
It's definitely been an interesting week when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, has it not?
Yeah, it's been a great week. I'm really excited about today's show. We got a lot going on. It's going to be good stuff.
There's definitely a ton going on. And I'm almost 98% sure we're going to be the only podcast talking about this stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anyone talking about AEW today or this week at all. No one. Not a single wrestling outlet.
No, we are definitely going to be the place to be for AEW.
We've got the exclusive license.
Yeah. We got the trademark going and everything. We're all in, Mike. We're all in.
Next year, man. 2020. Remember, that's the goal. StarCast 2020.
That is definitely a goal. And now that we know that there's probably going to be a continuation of StarCast.
They already announced that there's one this year at the Las Vegas show. Double or nothing.
Yes, which we learned at the Double or Nothing rally this Tuesday, held in Jacksonville, outside of the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. So all the rumors and innuendo came to a head, man. And I think we really need to talk about this. We need to break this down. We need to look at this from a lot of different angles. Right off the cuff, what was your impression with just the rally itself and the, I don't even necessarily mean the presentation of the rally, but just the production of the rally, the feel of the rally, the energy from the crowd. How did it seem to you?
I'm not sure how you watched it. If you watched it, I had to work. So I watched the Being the Elite channel broadcast of it when I got home.
Right.
Here's the thing. It felt kind of chintzy to me.
Okay, I will give you that, and
the
I will agree with you.
Sound quality was trash. Production-wise, they just didn't try. Can we just flat out say that? Production-wise, they didn't fucking try. You couldn't hear the crowd getting into it. And you could see the crowd were into it, but you couldn't fucking hear the crowd. The people talking were either way too quiet or way too loud. Even just like the camera shots, whoever directed it did not do a very good job. But with that said, we'll get more into that like later, because that's kind of a worrisome problem, was the actual production quality and the production values. But other than that, they made it feel like about as big a deal as you could make a non-WWE press conference feel like. There was fireworks. You had the pyro.
There was pyro.
You had Conrad Thompson.
Say goodbye to something else to wrestle with on the WWE Network.
Yeah, that shit's done. I didn't watch it anyway, though.
I didn't either, only because there's just so much content, dude.
There's so much, and I can just listen to Conrad.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought that while the production values had like a Ring of Honor feel to them, the participants, I guess the people that came up and spoke, it had a big fight feel to it, I guess. you could tell the crowd was excited. You just couldn't hear them. Everyone seemed very excited to be there, but I can't get away from the fact that it was a high school pep rally in a fucking parking lot.
Yeah, and this conversation is going to go all over the place. So if you're already irritated by what we're saying, just stay tuned. I promise you. But
yeah, you'll be happy again, and then irritated again, and then happy again.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I guarantee you. But I agree with every single point you make, and I'm gonna up the ante a little bit. I was disappointed in the crowd size. I thought there would be a little bit more of that. I listened to a few different podcasts that had quote unquote correspondence there, and the estimated crowd size was, if you take the two different numbers you got and average it, it was probably about 450, which I'm a little disappointed with that, especially when there was a WWE event right across the street, pretty much. Although that being said, that says a lot about their crossover, the crossover appeal of these acts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it says where, like, the majority of fans lie still.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that I'm going to be quite honest with you, what disappointed me is I felt like this press conference, with one exception, didn't tell us anything we really didn't already know. We already knew there was going to be, if you bought into the trademarking, it was the same way when they announced AEW, which was part of my disappointment with everything. Like, the Being the Elite episode was great, but, you know, they're like, oh, there we go, they're confirming. Then no, they didn't. They showed their phones that had the logos on it. We all knew this was a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we knew they were trademarked. We knew that
we'd already seen the logo. Nobody else's
Right. So it was not, it didn't confirm anything, which is kind of how I felt about this. It really didn't confirm the big questions. We got a few stars, which we're going to get into, that was signed with AEW. Awesome. Cool. The biggest thing, like, I was literally like, okay, and of course it happened at the end, but I was like, I'm kind of over this, and then I heard Fozzy start playing, and I was like, holy shit, I'm back in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it took one of WWE's biggest stars to save the AEW rally for me.
I think he saved the rally for a lot of people, to be honest with you.
I think that's a sentiment and an agreement, something that people would agree on. Now, so we can stop shitting on this for a minute, let's get into what was announced. And before we get into some of the things that were not, let's get into the fact that they have some big players on their roster and some, like, good up-and-comers. Like, I'll be honest with you, man, I haven't seen a lot of the in-ring work of what is MJF.
Yeah.
But his character work, I've heard interviews, I've seen stuff with him in the ring and promos. This guy is fantastic as a character.
Yeah, he's a nice young signing for them that hopefully they'll be able to develop into a star for them.
Yes.
I think
yes.
That's the play with him, is he's their first real long-term.
He can be like the homegrown. He can
yes,
be like,
exactly.
And I'm not comparing him to the level of this guy, but he can be the AEW version of TNA AJ Styles.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's great. That's great for him. That's great for AEW. Another big one is, quite frankly, Pac or Neville, if you're not sure who we're talking about.
I'll be honest. This was the biggest name, because I was at work, so I was, you know, just updating, refreshing to see what was happening throughout the rally. And I'll be honest, Pac was an even bigger name to me than Jericho. And I don't mean bigger as in, like, he's a bigger star. It was bigger to me because we'd already kind of suspected Jericho, you know, and we'd already seen Christopher Daniels was already on the debut video.
I don't mean any offense, but that whole group, I could care less.
Christopher Daniels is a good hand. They're all good hands.
They're all great, but I mean, how old is Christopher Daniels?
Yeah, so like, no, I get what you're saying.
It's just not that, it's not that big of a deal. It's cool for them, but it doesn't change my world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. I kind of feel the same way. I think Daniels will be a nice heel to have in this company. You need a good, solid, old school heel, and he can always work that for you. So we already knew about Christopher Daniels. We already kind of thought maybe Jericho. Pac, I had never thought ever, did his name ever one time cross my mind. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
Dang it, fucking Pac? Wow, okay, we got something here now. So I thought that was, to me, that was the biggest surprise of the whole thing. Because Jericho was like a surprise, but, you know, like when your wife's planning a surprise party for you, like, you know, because your wife can't keep anything secret from you. You're a married couple.
Right.
Like, come on, are you insane? Yeah. I know you're doing something. I'm not fucking retarded. so you know, but like you don't know. It was kind of like that with Jericho. Pac, for me, was just like, oh, damn, I didn't see this one coming at all. So I'm very excited about Pac. I'm very excited about how he positioned himself. I thought it was weird that he was the only one wearing wrestling gear, though.
I'm assuming that he just does everything in wrestling gear at this point in his life. Like, goes to the grocery store in wrestling gear, goes out to eat in wrestling gear. You know,
I mean, it was
doctor's appointment, wrestling gear. Like, I mean, at this point, he has to, right?
It was super weird. Because, no, it was like wrestling gear is one of those things that doesn't look out of place in the world it's supposed to be in. But as soon as it's removed from the world it's supposed to be in, you're like, even at a wrestling event with no one else is in wrestling gear, it's like, what the fuck is happening right now? Why is this dude out here dressed in his wrestling gear? So I thought that was weird, but I think it looks like, you know, maybe we're going to get a nice feud with him and Hangman Page moving forward.
Yeah, which, okay, brings a couple questions up. And I know the Omega thing's still out there looming. There's so much crap to wade through that we're not going to really wade through it, because I'll just say, of all the information that I've seen from, you know, dirt sheets, this and that and the other, look, this is, AEW still not a sure thing for Omega, so WWE is still in the running as of this recording. Unless something changes, that's not saying that they're in the lead, it's just that they're in the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's just leave it at that and move forward. But, and I could be wrong, but if you have the possibility of signing Kenny Omega, how do you set up a title match without him being in it?
Maybe. It's funny because I have actually thought about this. Maybe you don't want to blow your load on Omega right away. And maybe
Omega's your biggest star.
He's your biggest star, but hold on. But maybe you're trying to get Hangman Page, your buddy, on that next level, right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, this seems like probably the way to do it.
Or you have him beat Omega once Omega's a champion after he beats Pac.
You could.
I mean,
who knows what they're doing? It just seems to me like they're trying to give Hangman Page the initial bump.
Which is cool, because, you know, I saw haters say,
man, maybe they don't know what's going on with Omega. Maybe just because he's their friend, that doesn't mean they're going on. Maybe they're trying to, like, thread some things right now. Maybe.
Which is totally fine and understandable.
Yeah, maybe if Omega doesn't show up, Hangman Page is going to be the baby face of the company moving forward.
Right. So, I mean, hey, it's interesting. A comment I saw that I think makes a lot of sense was the smart move for AEW would be to push Omega to go to WWE for like a 2-3 year contract and get even bigger than come to them, which actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's pretty genius, actually.
Like, have him sign with AEW or with WWE on a 3-year. I mean, most of their deals are 2 to 3 years. I think most of them are at least three. for big money, make his money, get an even bigger name, because WWE is not going to sign him for big money and then ruin him. It's just not going to happen, guys. So they are looking at him at the face of the company. Now, the thing that they risk is him liking it there and being a even bigger deal than he already is and then not wanting to leave, which is also a possibility.
Just gotta hope you're good enough friends.
Yeah. Because money comes in between everything sometimes, unless that friendship and that bond is strong enough. Now, something that I brought up on our Facebook page that I really wanted to get your opinion on, Mike. This has to be an utter gut shot to Vince McMahon to see Chris Jericho come out and sign with these guys. Not necessarily the company starting, but to me, the bigger deal for Vince is that Chris Jericho jumped ship completely.
This is another one of those, are we assuming Vince didn't already know?
I don't think Vince already knew. And here's why.
Okay.
I'll give my reasoning. For one, and I could be wrong, maybe Jericho will come out and say, oh no, I had a talk, he wasn't happy, but he understood, blah, blah, blah. Which is what he basically said about the, you know, his New Japan stint. That being said, you know, Chris Jericho wrestled in New Japan, still looked at it as a member of the WWE Universe, participated in the greatest Royal Rumble, the first one, the first Saudi show, and was on Raw 25, and still competed in New Japan. No problems, right?
Yeah.
Chris Jericho signs with AEW on Tuesday night at, you know, what, 6 o'clock by the time the rally was over. At 8 o'clock, the WWE signature for SmackDown had Chris Jericho cut out of it. The fact that he was removed from the signature, that he was on Monday night, and then by Tuesday he was not, tells me that they didn't know and Vince was pissed.
I mean, that's a pretty good hypothesis. I mean, really. With all the facts given. I'm not sure. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he did know.
Jericho is one of my favorite wrestlers. I'm just glad that I can see him wrestle somewhere. That being said, I'm also kind of feel for Vince on this one. But, you know, it was kind of brought up. You know, like I said, we posted this on our page. Facebook.com/Nearfall Network. Cheap plug, right? And, you know, got a little bit of conversation going, not as much as I thought it would, but I posted that, you know, it had to be a gut shot to Vince. Vince probably took it personally. And Terrence Cadwell had posted back, Vince should take it personally, but for the right reasons. Jericho obviously sees something with AEW that he doesn't see with WWE. Vince should reflect on that. That is such a awesome way to put it, because he's basically saying that should be a reflection on Vince that Jericho didn't want to come back to the company he had been with the majority of his career and is going with this upstart because, you know.
Yeah. That's a really good point, man. I never really, like, thought about that until that guy said that. He should hopefully really take this. He should be mad, but he should be, like, it should motivate him to...
Right, yeah, yes.
...do better. Like, there's obviously something you're not doing right here, man. If, like, this all-time great would rather go work with these guys at a company that no one's even sure if it's gonna work or whatever, you know? But here he is, he's leaving for less money. Obviously, money doesn't make everyone happy. That's another thing you need to start to look at.
Well, and we're assuming it's less money, and that's another thing that we're going to get into here in a little bit. But something that I just want to touch on that, to me, was one of the biggest disappointments of this rally was, and maybe they just want to spread this stuff out, but man, I would have really thought we would have heard at least where we can watch this new wrestling organization. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like, I want this content in my life. Fair?
Yeah, fair.
But I need to know how it's going to happen, because I'm going to assume that it's going to be on TV and probably a channel I get. But if it's not, I'm not going to go out of my way to find it. And I think that's going to be an issue with a lot of people. Also, I'm not going to pay $30 or $40 for an event when I get the WWE Network for $10 a month and I have like unlimited content plus pay-per-views. So I'm hoping they can navigate this, because I feel like I'm not the only one in that world feeling that way. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't that part of the problem with Ring of Honor and New Japan right now? Is that Ring of Honor is on a channel you have, but who the fuck knows when it's on, because it's on at like 3 o'clock in the morning on 4 different channels.
in different areas. It could be on. It's kind of the same thing ECW suffered from.
Yeah, and New Japan has the same issue with access. It's like they have the same time slot every week, but like, who the fuck has access? I mean, I do, but like,
I don't.
I know, exactly. If you don't have DirecTV, you don't have access. So as long as they can find a distributor that makes it easy on them, like, I got it pretty easy to watch Ring of Honor and New Japan right now. I've got them DVR set for both of them. They both show up every week. I'm good to go. But a lot of people don't. You don't.
Nope.
When do you have the chance to be up at, you know, 3 in the morning that you're not on your way to work? You know, you
exactly.
don't have time to be up at 2, 3 o'clock, like, scanning the channels looking for Ring of Honor, hoping you had, like, Sinclair Broadcasting somewhere.
Well, and I have access to Ring of Honor, and you actually bring up a valid point. I probably should set my DVR for that. But I also have so much other content that I try to have time to take in with a 70-hour work week. You got to prioritize, and it's just not on my top priority list.
Yeah, and if they can, and I think I'm hoping that because they, and by they I mean the Elite, have been part of Ring of Honor and New Japan for long enough now that they're fully aware of the pitfalls both those companies have with getting over in America and becoming bigger. That they're all gonna like look at that and, I don't know, do something with that knowledge, I'm hoping, and that they get a TV deal that is easy to find. It is the same weekly slot. And look, and I'm talking like easy to find, like don't make it like Impact where they're like, oh no, man, we're on every Thursday from 8 to 10 on the Home and Garden channel or some bullshit like that that like you probably don't get pop. No, man, y'all need to be on, like, something easy to find that everyone has in the same weekly time slot.
Yep. Craziness. I get pop, but the channel they're moving to, I do not get.
Here's what's crazy is I've tried recording, you know, because I watch wrestling, if any wrestling's on.
Yeah, it's wrestling.
You know, I watch it. I watch Chaotic a little bit here and there. When Paragon Pro was on pop before Impact, I watched the shit out of Paragon Pro, and it's fucking terrible. But I have tried to watch Impact, but every time I go to set my DVR, between the wife and I, we've already got too much stuff recording on Thursdays at that time
slot.
And
then priorities take over.
Yeah, man, and it's just like, I'm sorry. Like, TNA, you just don't rate higher than whatever.
Yep, and again, same thing with the whole pay-per-view model. Like, I really think the WWE Network, and for that matter, New Japan World, have changed the model that the fans expect. And I don't expect them to do monthly pay-per-views, but that being said, like, even for a year, I'm not going to pay $50-$60 to watch it. I'm just not, man. I'm not. I can't justify it when I can get something that I'm aware of what the production quality is going to be and what the, you know, I know what to expect with WWE, and it's $10 a month. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just going to be one of those things where I hope they can figure that out. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, because, Mike, I have some questions, and I'm going to throw them at you and just see kind of where we are in this brand new world that is changing very quickly. Guys, hang tight. We will be right back.
And now, a very special reading of the theme song to Happy Days by the Nearfall Network's own Real One, a.k.a. Enzo Amore. Nah,
1.
2.
3 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Rock.
5.
6.
7 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Rock.
9.
10.
11 o'clock.
12 o'clock rock.
We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
How you doing?
Put your glad rags on and join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes 1 kid century. How you doing? We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock.
Still broad daylight.
We're gonna rock, rock. Gonna rock around the clock
tonight.
How you doing? Know when the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4. If the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're gonna fucking rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. How you doing when the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7? We'll be right.
Is 7th heaven?
We're gonna rock around the fucking clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. This fucking song is long. Good God. When it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong. And so will you, consensually. How you doing? Lost my place. Shit. This old apologize. We're gonna rock, around the clock tonight. Like, you don't really lose your place in this song. If you forget where you're at, you just start saying rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. You're going to the next thing. How you doing when the clock strikes 12? We'll cool off then. Start a rocking around the clock again. This song is sexual. I was not aware that this song was so sexually explicit. If you really like read between the lines, we're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Holy moly. This all apologizes for the children. As always, Mr. Marcus, have a great week. Mr. Forrester, you know.
You know. You know, man. One day that dude's gonna piss me off.
So he's gonna piss you off one day, Mike?
Yeah, man. You know, like, I know that he thinks we got, like, this joking rapport where he's like, oh, you talk shit and I talk shit and blah, 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 blah. But, like, you know, we're not Sam and Diane. This isn't, like, some, like, sarcastic meet cute on an 80s sitcom. Like, I don't like you, dude. Don't, like, flirty joke with me. Like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't like it. We're not friends. I'm not joking. Like, I don't like you. But
I heard the door slam when he left the studio, so he clearly still has some heat with you.
I don't know. I'm gonna fucking smack him one day.
Well, let's get to some questions that I have. And I don't know if you have any, but I wrote some down, send them to you. Let's discuss this. All Elite Wrestling, continue this path we're going down. One thing that they announced that I'm totally cool with, and Brandi Rhodes clarified it, but was equal pay across the board. And basically what she meant is that men and women will be paid the same. And she didn't mean, like, let me put this in WWE terms. She didn't mean, like, Alicia Fox is going to make the same money as Brock Lesnar. What she meant is, that's a bad example. She didn't mean, like, someone brand new coming in. like say a Kairi Sane, we'll use her as an example, coming up to the main roster, is going to make the same as Brock Lesnar. What she meant is a top male star and a top female star will make the same money. So like, if your biggest star is Hangman Page, as we kind of volleyed about in the last segment, and your biggest female is Britt Baker, who they signed, then they're going to make the same amount of money. And I'm cool with that. I think that's a good thing to do. I don't know how sustainable it is, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know how sustainable it is either, because
it might handcuff you on how many people you can go out and headhunt for.
That, and not only, but like, look, I don't think I have to defend what I'm about to say, because I think we advocate,
oh boy, here we go.
No, I think we advocate women's professional wrestling as an amazing product on here, more than enough, right?
So I don't
think I have to defend what I'm about to say when I say that it is very hard for a woman to get on that level. For the first time we have three, right? We got three right now, Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda, right? Three.
Arguably, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, and that's it. That is it. That is fucking it. In the entire world, three chicks that are on the same level as Kenny Omega, Cody, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, like, and I'm just naming off names, Samoa Joe, people that can main event pay-per-views. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about legit fucking main eventers. So
there's a sharp drop-off after that.
There is. Asuka's your next tier down, and she's kind of on a tier by herself right now.
Yeah.
And then after that, you've got the Nia, Sasha, Bayley's of the world.
Yeah.
Alexa's on probably that second tier. Alexa Bliss is on Alexa Bliss is on the second tier with Asuka.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got, you know, your Dana Brooks, your Lisa Fox, your Lana's. And that's no insult to these women. That's just how it is.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that it's hard. It's going to be hard for me to, like, I guess what I'm saying is just because you're saying, I don't know. I guess, the pay thing, fuck it, though. I guess I don't know what my point is now, because now that I think about it, like, shit, if there's only three chicks worth that money, then you only give three chicks that much money. It doesn't mean you have to pay someone that much money.
Right, but that doesn't mean there won't be more, because this revolution is a new thing.
Right,
and
that's
the women
too.
You got Tessa Blanchard out there who is a star today.
Yeah.
Top money, come into any company.
Tony Storm,
another one. So, I mean, it's going to get top heavy eventually, and that's going to be something they're going to have to be able to sustain if they want to, you know, stick with their morals, their values, and the things they're setting up with this company. Something else that Cody, I know, has lobbied and talked about, and I'm not meaning to be insulting, but talked a big game on, is healthcare and wrestlers being treated like regular employees. First and foremost, let me just say something. I work for a $1 billion company, and my healthcare is like about as good as the toilet paper I wipe my ass with after I wipe it.
Yeah,
it's
same.
Fucking shit, okay?
Same.
So, like, if I could afford, which most of these guys and girls can, to go buy my own with better coverage, I would. I just can't afford that. Now, I'm not saying that, say, a WWE couldn't give them better coverage. I'm sure they could. But I, again, work for a $1 billion company, and they don't do it. They actually had an option that saved them and us money, and they refused. So, you know, there's all kind of motives there. That's a whole nother thing that I can't really go into. But that being said, it's not always like a perfect world, especially when it comes to healthcare in America. But the only thing I've heard on this so far, Mike, is Cody coming out and saying anyone that's injured in a ring will be taken care of. Well, guess what? WWE and Ring of Honor already have that same kind of thing in place. So you're not doing anything different unless you just have stuff in the works that you can't talk about.
Yeah, but I don't know if maybe they're talking about It's like all around healthcare.
Well, that's kind of how it's been framed, that they need to be treated like employees and they need to have health insurance.
That's what I'm saying.
Which
is
would
like
probably
WWE covers
like,
you broke your arm in the ring. I'm wondering
right.
if these are covering you got the fucking sniffles.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like that's what I'm assuming they're trying to shoot. That's their goal, right?
Yeah, that's what
I'm thinking.
To have
a health
plan. Yeah.
But that's not what he's saying. We're going to cover you if you get hurt in a ring. Well, no shit, Sherlock. That's the right thing to do no matter what. And Vince does that. And Sinclair does that.
Fair. Everyone does do that. All right, yeah.
So,
I get what you're saying now. I'm sorry.
I mean, and unless there's more to it, then great. But right now, I can't get behind it and say, hey, they're changing the world. Because that is one thing, if they accomplish anything, that would cause WWE to follow suit, because they'd almost have to if it works and it's successful, then this whole thing is worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all that being said, I'm going to throw this scenario out there. Most of these wrestlers, or a lot of these wrestlers, they make good money. They can afford to pay to go to a doctor or pay for insurance because the big stuff's going to be covered because it can probably be related. Most of their stuff's going to be from the ring, right? Okay.
Yeah.
If they're married and their spouse doesn't work, then I see where that's an issue because now you got to pay for all these little things. But probably a lot of these guys and girls are single. So, you know, it really only affects the family and if they're spouses working or not working, because if their spouse is working, they can get insurance, and then even they could probably get on their spouses. It's a mess. It's something that is hard to get into because the American health system is a joke anyway, so just even saying like I want to be pulled into that is crazy. But I understand it, but I just, what is being put out there right now is nothing different than what we already have, and that bothers me. Right now. We'll see where it goes. But something that's even kind of, you know, brought to even what Cody said, is that, like, Chris Jericho can still do his cruise. Joey Janela can still have his spring break parties. If those guys are hurt in that situation, is AEW going to cover that?
See, that's the interesting part of this. How is,
because like
interpromotional,
if you have health insurance, then I mean technically they kind of would have to, but I'm sure there's a loophole even on that side. But you know, health coverage is health coverage. If I get hurt on a job, workers' comp pays for it. If I get hurt at home, then my insurance that I pay out the ass for through my employer pays for it. You get what I'm saying? But this is a murky water thing, man, when it comes to these athletes doing crazy things that put themselves at risk every day.
I would think you'd fall under the jurisdiction of the company that you're currently working for.
Yeah, I would think so too, but, you know, again, if you're on Jericho Cruz or Joey Janela's spring break, what company are you working for?
Well, you're working for Joey Janela or Chris Jericho.
So it's on them?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, but I don't know. It could really, 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 really be a mess. And Mike, we've talked, and you kind of said that I was being negative about
you
this.
You are being so fucking negative. Dude, you have not been, like, cool about this once the whole time since they announced the shit on New Year's Eve. You've just been like, negative, negative, throw negatives out about the whole thing. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, can you be excited about it for, like, a fucking minute? Like, we're having this, like our group chat, myself, you, the High Fiver, Mr. Vest and the High Fiver and myself are all like, oh, this could be cool. What about if they go this way? And you're just like, what if they go bankrupt in a year? And it's like, fuck, man. Like, can you just fucking fantasy book and have fun with it for a fucking minute? You goddamn negative WWE fan.
Point number one, I'm not quite sure we're actually talking to the High Fiver. I think it's Bigfoot. Point number two, WWE is the greatest thing ever created, and fuck everything else, and I hate anything that's not WWE.
I know you do. It's insane.
So there. There.
It's crazy.
But really, what I'm worried about, Mike, is I want, like, I'm all for other wrestling because I love wrestling just like you. I am concerned because the words that keep echoing in my mind, and you and I talked about this, is when Conrad Thompson asked Eric Bischoff on 83 Weeks, is there anyone that could start and compete with WWE? And he flat out said no. This is coming from the man who was in war with WWE with a technically established company. And the road that I want to go down is WCW was a company that was created from Ted Turner buying another company, right? Something that was established, that had a fan base that they could build on. Now, I know the Young Bucks and the Elite in general have a fan base that they can build on, but it's not a company. And what I'm actually worried the most is, like, a guy like Chris Jericho, if this thing goes down, he'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
He'll go back to WWE, whatever he wants to do. And let's be honest, he's probably towards the tail end of his career anyway, so he'll be fine. You know, to be fair, Cody will be fine. He's still a Rhodes. So if this fails and he wants to go back to WWE, Vince will welcome him back. We know this. There won't be the hard feelings that might even exist right now. He'll be able to come back. I think this could bury the Young Bucks, dude.
You think this buries the Young Bucks? They can always get back to New Japan.
Yeah, you can go back to New Japan, but then they're going to be the team that refused to go to WWE and could never do anything but work in Japan and Ring of Honor, right?
I mean, I guess.
If you're Vince, yeah. And this is a thing, and maybe it lasts 5 years. I don't know. I'm just throwing that number out there. But it doesn't work. You take Cody. You take Kenny if he never came. Hell, you might take Hangman. You might take Pac back. You know what I mean? But you might just say those little guys that didn't want anything to do with us when we offered them big money, screw them.
I honestly think if they were going to take those other guys, they'd take the Bucks.
And you might be right, but it's a concern I have, man. And the other thing that I have a concern with is the Bucks and Cody have zero money invested in this, which on one hand is probably a good thing, but on the other hand, they're street employees, dude. This is not an indie thing. This is a billion-dollar company, this is a company backed by $1 billion, I guess, organization, but a billionaire, yeah. Yeah, so this is legit no different than WCW. It's no different than Sinclair. Sinclair is one of the biggest broadcasting corporations in America, if not the biggest. And look at Ring of Honor, man. It's going to depend on how much this guy is willing to open that vault. And it might all be like puppies and rainbows at the beginning, but if this company is losing him money, do you think he's going to stay in it if he's losing millions every year?
Oh, definitely not.
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. They're going to lose money right off the bat because they've got to buy rings. They've got to buy production stuff. They've got to buy branded logo, you know, ring skirts and all that shit that just goes with producing a wrestling show. Cameras, trucks. That's a big overhead. And it might not look that big at first, but when you start paying athletes, when you have, you know, money coming for contracts, you have money for all this stuff, that's a big, big, big overhead. You know, before I do what I do now, I worked in a gym, and anyone who has a degree in the field that I have, like, one of your dreams is, man, I'd love to open a gym. Once you have everything bought and purchased and paid for, you're making money. But it could take you 20 years for that point because all that shit's expensive. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same boat they're in. Now they have tons of money to fall back on. But how long is too long to lose money, because you have to pay all that shit before you start making money. You get where I'm going with this?
Yep.
And to me, like, I don't care how much this dude's kid loves pro wrestling. If he's losing multi-millions every year, and I'm not saying he's going to, I'm just saying there's a possibility. How long is he going to let it go? Now, if they get a good TV deal, that could eliminate some of this. And honestly, with WWE getting billions of dollars for two separate deals, they have a lot of, I don't want to say leverage, but they have a lot of sway, maybe, because clearly, at least in the mind of TV stations, broadcast networks, whatever, wrestling's a hot commodity. But they have to make themselves attractive, and they have to make that money, or I don't think this guy's just going to, he's just not going to let millions go out his door every day. He's just not.
No, that's why TV's probably a must. Like, they must have a weekly, like, they're going to start making money immediately.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, you could sell out these. I mean, don't get me wrong. All In was a big achievement, and I'm sure Double or Nothing will do great numbers and this show in Jacksonville, but you're going to need more than some sellout shows. Sellout glorified house shows. To,
yeah, well, and again, man, like,
for like, and this time you're, and here's another thing. So from here on out, it's AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
So All In had the NWA title defended, Ring of Honor title. There were things on there you cared about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I now you have to do this, but now you have to do it without belts that have histories that people are invested in and stories.
Yeah, you
going
have to
into
make
them.
You have to make history.
Like, you have to make and, me give a shit about your new belt. Like, you can't just tell me it's a prestigious belt. Like, it has to become a prestigious belt.
Yes, it has to.
So,
and
so you got to do this now without any of the backing of an NWA or Ring of Honor title, and succeed on the same level without having as much that people care about. And I think maybe you've got to, like, that's not going to be enough to turn profit. There's got to be a TV deal sitting there.
And I would be way less concerned if, say, they bought Impact and started there. You get where I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're another example. Impact, their owners, I think the current owners right now, are actual billionaires, and they're not doing shit. So TV is very, very important for this to go the way that it should. I don't know, man. I want it to succeed because I want there to be multiple places for people to work. Because especially if it's good, it's going to make WWE better.
Yeah.
And it's going to make all these other outlets, Ring of Honor, New Japan, everything. It's going to make all of them better because they're all going to be, I've said it before, you know, and they said they're not trying to compete with WWE. At the same time, I've agreed, like, they're not going to be competition for WWE. Where they can be competition is in the stars, man, because they're going to be fighting for the same people. And that's going to, you know, bump everybody's pay grade up, right? So, hey, awesome.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably the best thing about it.
Yeah, and if they get some, like, insurance thing and some more rights for these wrestlers who are, you know, in WWE, independent contractors, and a lot of companies, we can't just pin that on them. I mean, they're the biggest, but they still do it, and it is what it is, but that's the way it's always been. So, I mean, everyone was okay with it for as many years as it's been going on, 50, 60, 70, I don't know how long that structure has been there, but I have to imagine a very long time. And things do change, and maybe this will be the catalyst. I don't know. But I'm excited to see where it goes, but I'm cautious. I think that's a fair way to put it.
Excited. Okay. You really sound excited.
Mike, you know what else I'm excited about?
What?
That we get more things to talk about from our favorite new podcast.
Yeah, I'm really excited to beat the shit out of Animal.
hang tight, guys. We're going to come back, and we're going to take a shit on LOD. I guess not specifically LOD.
What a shit.
Someone better call PETA, because I'm about to get some animal abuse up in this motherfucker.
Well, Mike, I took the lead last time. I'm going to let you do the honors this time, because I know that I think the fact that I made you listen to the podcast once and then I brought some of this up for the next one and you saw it, I saw it. I think you're even more pissed off this week. So I think it might be more fun for me to just let you take the lead.
Woo! I just saw that Becky responded. So I shot you a little screen capture and you were like, oh yeah, I've already downloaded his response. And I was like, oh shit, he responded? Fuck, I gotta listen now. So you told me that while I was at work, so I immediately downloaded it at work, sitting in my office doing nothing and playing on my phone while one hand click clacks on a computer screen impotently as if I'm really doing something. So I downloaded it, so I'm driving home and I listened to it and I was just like, oh my, I was yelling in my car. He would say something and I would yell a response in my car, like, no, that's not, you know, that's not what you meant, you motherfucker. Oh, so I knew right then that I was going to need to jot down some notes. So I listened to it again early this morning. And I'm, by early this morning, I mean at like, let's see, I woke up at like 2:30 and listened to it again. So I took some notes down here because he really just, man, he's such a fucking asshole. Like, there's no other way around it. Like, dude is such a fucking asshole, man.
And for the people at home that don't have the behind the scenes that we have here doing this podcast together, I just want everybody to know the things that we're about to talk about, maybe were 8 minutes of his podcast. And Mike, you have 2 pages of notes.
Yep, that's right.
So let's get into it, man. So, what did he say that was dumb?
So he initially opens the show, still really wants to be a part of AEW, thinks his knowledge of tag team wrestling will benefit them, you know, the Bucks, because, you know. Like, they fucking know anything about tag team wrestling, huh?
Yeah, it's...
We're gonna delve back more into this later. There's gonna be a moment later where we're gonna come back into this. So, we're not gonna hang on to this AEW thing too much. Let's move right into it. So... His co-host, Joe Slapnuts, is like...
Joe Roderick.
Yeah, Joe Slapnuts is like, hey, did you see Becky responded to your tweets? Okay, so if you're... with what you said, so if you're unfamiliar with what Becky said, all Becky said in response was... and it said she had... taken a picture, a screen capture of an article that said Road Warrior Animal thinks Becky Lynch needs to change gimmick or some shit like that, right?
Right.
And
right.
All she said was she took that and she said first 4 words of this are where they messed up, which says Road Warrior Animal thinks.
Yes.
It's a fucking sick burn. It's what she's been doing to everybody, right? Anybody that's meant, that's dare let her name come off their fingertips on social media, she has eviscerated like this.
Which is part of her social media gimmick.
Yes. It's not just her social media gimmick. It's part of her whole gimmick is just like, yes, I'm a fucking wreck you if you dare say my name. And here's the thing. I don't even know if she read like the recap or listened to it. The way she responded, right, she could have heard what he said or not. You know?
Right. Right.
So it's part of her gimmick. Okay. Less again, it's part of her gimmick. You know, like you used to live your gimmick. Like she's right, living the gimmick. Okay. So he goes on to say, well, Becky responded, and he's like, well, I just said she needs some tweaks. No, motherfucker. You said she needed to back off the whole gimmick and be a straight baby face. Back off right, the whole man gimmick and be a straight baby face.
Which is her whole persona now.
Yes, a whole persona. She is living her gimmick, man. Like, so, dumb shit then goes on to say, Becky needs to chill out. Bruh, she sent one tweet out about it. One tweet. Bruh, she sent one tweet, and it was like, eight words. She said eight words on it. You have now dedicated 20 minutes to your show last week and like another like 10 this week to talking about this chick. Okay? So like, you need to chill out. Go ahead. If you have something to add here, you sound like you're biting at the bit.
I'm actually just laughing. Like you're okay, right. I have nothing to add.
All right. He says that he said, he then goes on. This motherfucker proceeds to have the audacity to say she hasn't earned her stripes to call him out. Which, you know what? Here's the fucking thing, man. I'll give you that. Maybe. Except for this next part. She hasn't achieved what he has. And then he proceeds to tell us that he's won 22 different tag titles in 22 different federations. And all she's won is the WWE belt. So I looked up what, you know, I looked up what these 22 different federations were, okay? So let me pull that back up on my phone here. Road Warriors titles won. Okay. So, Becky, God forbid talk, because all she's ever done is won the WWE title. Okay. mind you, again, let's say the WWE title. So all she's done is win the top belt in women's wrestling in the world twice. That's it. All you've done, all you've done in your fucking career is win the women's top title that you could possibly win in the entire fucking world twice. Meanwhile, Tag Team McGee over here has won the All Japan Pro Wrestling NWA International Tag Team Championship. The AWA World Tag Team Championship. The Fighting World of Japan Pro Wrestling World Japanese Tag Team Championship. The Georgia Championship Wrestling Tag Team Championships. The International Wrestling Superstars World Tag Team Championship.
The Southpaw Wrestling Tag Team Championship.
The I-Generation Tag Team Championship. Got that one three times. Woo, doggy.
Woo.
The IPW Independent Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships. The NWA World Tag Team Championship. You know, so the NWA, that's cool, right? You know, gonna take away from that. That's pretty fucking sweet. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. Super World of Sports One Night Tag Team Tournament Champions. New Japan Pro Wrestling, they're two-time IWGP Tag Team Champions, so that's pretty cool. So, okay, 22, right? So you've won 22 tag team titles. So out of 22 federations, WWF, NWA, arguably NWA, IWGP, yeah, and WCW are the only ones you won that fucking mattered at all. And guess what? They weren't like... So, like, shut the fuck up, man. You won the top tag belts in the world. Like, that's cool, man.
Ask him how many times he won the top singles championship.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm getting to next. So cool, man. Like, you're, like, legit, like, an amazing, one of the greatest of all time tag team wrestlers. I don't want to, like, take that away from you. But you don't. So, nowhere in there was there a fucking singles title that you fucking have won or known anything about, let alone the top singles title in the entire fucking world of wrestling for your gender. Oh, what? Are you fucking serious, dude? So he then goes on. He makes a big deal out of like him saying, what I said, did I not say that she's the hottest act in the world and the women are stealing the show? It makes it sound like it was a fucking compliment, right?
Yeah, it's a backhand.
And it
compliment.
Wasn't. It That's was, what he that used is exactly. that. He used that to bash the fucking men by saying, like, fellas, look, what the fuck is these women over here showing you up? He used that as a way to bash men. That's not a compliment. Yep. You used it to bash men. He once again mentions all he's done, and Hawk and I won 22 different tag titles. Again, thank you for admitting you have not done shit in the world of singles wrestling. And again, wants to tell us that she's never won anything except the WWE title. Again, the top title in the industry for her gender. All she's ever done is win the top woman's belt in the entire fucking world. That is it. That's all she's ever done. That's it. Yep, Becky Lynch. She hasn't done anything. You know what? While we're here, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up. Becky Lynch, titles won.
Right.
Let's go ahead and take a look here. At old Rebecca, whatever her name is, Quinn.
Quinn.
Championships and accomplishments. She is a two-time SmackDown Women's Champion. Mm-hmm. She's a World Queens of Chaos Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, she pretty much, you know, maybe Hawk was right about, you know, all she's ever won is the WWE title. But hey, man, whoop did he do? All Sting's ever done is win the WCW title. I guess Impact, but like, you know, I'm pretty sure I won an Impact Wrestling Championship one time when I tripped and fell on top of a dude for 3 seconds in a parking lot. So, you know, all she's ever done is win the WWE title. Well, fuck. Even still, with that really only being her only championship ever. Like, oh, my bad. Oh, well, that's all Charlotte's ever done, too. You know?
Yeah.
You know? In the world of wrestling, that's...
The greatest female wrestler in the world.
Greatest female wrestler ever in the history of female wrestling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, he keeps saying he's wrestled people all over the world, as if Becky is not from Europe. He keeps talking about... Right. That was a slow burn, wasn't it?
Well, because I just remember thinking the exact same thing when he was saying that. I was like, she's from Ireland, you dumbass. Like, you're talking about how you traveled and, you know, worked all over the world. She's from another part of the world, you idiot.
Speaking of her being from Ireland, I was watching SmackDown this week. And the promo video for who's coming up from NXT was on. Nikki Cross, huh? So I think we shall forever be retiring Dirty Pirate Hooker from Becky Lynch and now moving it to Nikki Cross.
I'm okay with that.
Because it was like kind of a joke with Becky, right? Because she doesn't sound... like improper or anything in her speech. It's just got the accent. Oh, Nikki Cross, I tell you, she fights in a back alley, steal your gold too, she will.
Find you at the blooms, yeah. I will.
So, he back to Animal. The best thing Animal ever did was produce a badass middle linebacker from the tip of his dick.
He did do that.
So he keeps talking and saying his stroke. His stroke and work.
That's a funny thing to follow up what you just said. Sorry.
His stroke and work laid the foundation for her to even have a job today. Because, yup, Animal definitely laid the foundation and is responsible for women's fucking wrestling. Meanwhile, he is saying this. First of all, you didn't lay the foundation for anyone to have a job today because tag team wrestling in the WWE is at an all-time fucking low. So you failed, sir. You failed. And by the way, you just said that to a woman that is literally is paving the road and going and being responsible for women having fucking jobs in this company for the next 20 years. Like, you are literally talking to, like, someone that you will be able to point to 20 years from now and be like, that woman right there, Rebecca Quinn, Becky Lynch, she fucking changed everything here. She changed everything how we did things here. She changed everything. And no one will even fucking remember you, Animal.
Because, I mean, they might remember.
No,
him.
Man, here's the thing. Because,
but not for that.
No, because the people that... No, because the people that are LOD fans, they're all going to start dying out in 20 years. No disrespect to anyone, man, but, like, you know, those dudes are all, like, 40 plus now. In 20 years, they're going to be 60 plus. In another 20 years, they're going to be fucking 80. These fans are going to start dying out. And meanwhile, Becky Lynch is going... So, like, that's the thing with wrestling. If you didn't see it and it wasn't an all-time moment...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't fucking matter to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I could give a fuck what Andre the Giant ever did, guys. I could give a shit. I could care less about anything that Larry Zbyszko did. I do not care about any of it. And that's just how it is. If it didn't happen during your lifetime as a wrestling fan, you just don't give a shit unless it's an all-time thing. Austin McMahon will live forever. Becky Lynch changing how the perception of women are viewed in professional wrestling and WWE in particular, that's going to live forever. Way longer than LOD and their legacy. So, like, it's funny to me that he's talking about his stroke and foundation paving the way for people when, like, you're legitimately talking to a woman that is going to, like, her name's, like, she's etching her name in the fucking all-time great book of history wrestling things. Then he goes on to say that he made more compliments than negative, but as discussed, all his compliments were just attacks on men. Like, all his compliments towards the women were just attacks on men.
Which disrespect the women.
Yes, yeah. And then he kind of tries to step away from his comments last week. Well, you know, like, like, all she wants to do, and then he tries to put the blame on Becky Lynch for getting hung up on one little thing. Well, she got hung up on one little thing. You mean where you bashed her and told her that, like, the greatest gimmick in wrestling right now she needed to stop doing and told everyone that you know better than her?
Yeah.
And then she
just
said,
one little thing.
And then she said eight words back to you. Like, oh, God forbid, this, how dare she say eight fucking words back after I spent 20 minutes bashing her last week. And then we find out that... I love this. Okay, this is kind of the end here. I love this. This might be my favorite part. The Animal is a talent scout for Glory Pro Wrestling. Fucking who?
Huh?
So if this dude had anywhere near the fucking clout or stroke that he thinks he has, don't you think he would certainly fucking be bigger? Like if you got this much stroke, you're out here begging on a podcast that has 522 downloads for AEW to fucking pick you up as a tag team guy. All this talent and stroke got you a gig as the fucking talent scout for Glory Pro Wrestling. With their main event at this week's show, Bandido versus Kurt Stallion. Oh shit, son! Bandido versus Kurt Stallion. Where do I get my tickets at? How do I pay for this to be watched online? You can't miss this. Oh my God. Get the fuck out of here. So it, like, in conclusion, Road Warrior Animal, you are a total fucking ass clown. You are out of touch with modern wrestling. You have a much higher opinion of yourself than anyone in that watches wrestling has. You are just a fucking idiot, and you just need to stop talking about shit out your fucking ass, man. Like, you don't know fuck all about anything except tag team wrestling, and like, you don't even know about how modern tag team wrestling works. Like, you were hey Mike, what's the best Road Warriors match of all time? No, go ahead, I'll hold my breath, hold on.
The one where Hawk fell off the Titantron.
Fuck, man, right? I guess. The one where Sonny came out in a thong.
You know what's funny? And as much as everyone is Marks, or I don't want to, let me rephrase that. As big of a following as Legion of Doom had back in the day, when you sit here and you listen to, you know, Conrad Thompson shows where he's talking about pay-per-views and he always gives Dave Meltzer star ratings, I've yet to hear a Legion of Doom Road Warrior match it has above like a 2.5 star.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 at most rating.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, he just, and I don't, again, like, I hate bashing on the dude, because, like, I mean, the Road Warriors really were.
It's generally not what we do on this show, but sometimes people just have to be called out. And to solidify what this guy said, like, not to interrupt you, but to solidify some of the things this guy said, he also took to task the fact that Tyler Breeze had an issue with what he said and claims that he said nothing ignorant to Tyler Breeze, that when he called him a 180-pound jobber, that he was just joking.
And then called him a 180-pound jobber again.
Right. Like, and you said that Fandango's nothing but a job guy. It's exactly what you said. And you tried to frame it as, well, this is all WWE's fault. They don't know. Like, you can't do that after you call them what you call them and then put the blame somewhere else. You're like...
He even said that he wasn't even sure if that was Becky Lynch responding or someone at WWE that was just mad.
Yeah. He did say that, didn't he? Listen, if WWE had someone that could write that kind of stuff, they wouldn't be getting the flack they are for the stuff that's on TV. Let's just put it out like that.
Yeah. Man. So, I don't want to take away from Animal. Like, the dude had an impressive career. He was, you know, an all-time great tag team wrestler. They are one of the greatest tag teams of all time. But you don't know fuck all about singles wrestling, man, and you don't know fuck all about women's singles wrestling, and you don't know fuck all about modern wrestling. So maybe sit your ass down and learn something and educate yourself before you fucking speak. Because it is one thing to say that you don't like something. It's another thing to say that the hottest act in wrestling should just stop doing what they're doing. That is just fucking stupid. That is just stupid. Like, that is just flat out stupid, and you just sound fucking stupid. And then, instead of just being like, yo, I spoke out my ass, you have to continue to say stupid fucking things, man. Just, like, stop and say, like, yo, I was wrong. It's okay. We do it here all the time. Like, if you fuck up, just say, like, yo, I was wrong. A lot of times I've had to admit being wrong. It's okay, man. I haven't even won 22 different tag team titles. So, like... you know, you should definitely have a little bit more humility. You got that fucking stroke and clout.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, two things I want to bring up before we go, Mike, because last week we didn't talk about it. We had a lot of stuff going on, and we really can't do it justice here, but I will say, rest in peace, Mean Gene Okerlund. You will be sorely missed. And... if you really, really want to take it in, go listen to every one of Conrad Thompson's shows, because those three gentlemen with Conrad do an amazing job of tributing him. And I was really okay with the Hulk Hogan thing on Monday night. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Main Woo by God Gene.
And before we go, this is interesting. And just to wrap everything up, because this is how we do it, guys. And sometimes stuff comes in that we talk about, and I don't want to leave it since I have the information right here. Gotta hate to credit these guys, but really they're getting it from a radio show. Ringside News, Mike.
Oh.
Our buddy Handjob Jenkins.
Handjob Jenkins.
In a story, I'm just going to read the quote from the story from Busted Open Radio. Chris Jericho reveals, and I quote, he had a conversation with Vince McMahon. And this is the quote from Jericho. A lot of stuff is private, but I did have a very amicable conversation with him. He knew what I was doing. It wasn't a surprise. I didn't just show up in Jacksonville, and that was it. The bottom line is the Khan family isn't messing around. They want to make a go at this, and you know they have a lot of money and they have a lot of capital. So Vince McMahon was aware.
Oh, I was right.
So you are right. I was wrong.
I was right. You were wrong. I'm doing a dance right now. It's called I Was Right and You Were Wrong Dance. I was right and you were wrong dance. Burr, 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 burr. Okay, that's cool.
He goes on to say that they were very adamant about working with Jericho, and he admitted he didn't believe them at first. It said that the Khan family and the Elite were motivated enough to convince Jericho to make the jump, and he doesn't know how Vince feels about it, but their last conversation was civil. So, hey, it is what it is.
All
it's right, going to be interesting as time goes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We've said this every week for like the last like month, but it's an interesting time right now.
Yep, it sure is. And hey, it's an amazing time to be a pro wrestling fan, and I mean, what other fan would you want to be, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, you know, pro wrestling, comics, Cleveland Browns, Ohio State Buckeyes, those things, pretty much.
I'll swap your Browns for Dallas Cowboys, and we got a deal, man. Guys,
PlayStation.
I say it every week. What?
PlayStation.
Yeah, well, you know.
Action figures.
I don't have that kind of time anymore, but I'm with you. Yes, and action figures, but now we're just showing our nerd side and we need to stop.
Okay, yeah. All right, go ahead and close it out.
Guys, I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We will catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
I've been tracking Sasquatch for 25 years.
These animals, in fact, are real.
I do think there's a Sasquatch in these woods.
Hi, it's me. Fourth biggest actor in the world, celebrity Bigfoot hunter Mark Wahlberg. How's your sister's pregnancy coming along? Yeah? She moved into the third trimester yet? No? Still in the second? That's good to hear, that's good to hear. Make sure you keep an eye on her. You give her a kiss on the forehead for me. You tell her Marky Mark's looking out for her. Welcome back to Hunting for Bigfoot, Hunting for High Five and Motherfucker. I am, as I just said, celebrity Bigfoot hunter Mark Wahlberg. I'm here in Ohio in the woods with the ghost of Steve Irwin. And my former celebrity brother, Mark... No, I'm Mark. See what I did there, Donnie? You're such a piece of shit, Donnie, that I almost said my name instead of yours because people are so used to saying my name and not your name, Donnie. Don't you ever forget, Donnie. I'm your baby brother, but I'm a bigger deal than you. Anyway, it's me. I'm here with the ghost of Steve Irwin, my former celebrity brother, Donnie Wahlberg. We're still out in the Ohio woods, searching for the Nearfall Network's own high-fiving motherfucker. We still lost. He's still out again. Waylaid by Bigfoot's penis. So Steve, you know, while we were on break this week, I went back to my home. You want to know what happened while I was there, Steve?
Why not, mate? You know, I'm sure you're going to tell me regardless of whether I really want to hear it.
It's like I got to my house, Steve, and I pulled up into the driveway of my very nice Tesla coupe. It's a self-driver. And I pulled up, and I got the mail. I took the mail inside my house, right? When I was inside my house, I was going through the mail, seeing the bills and the whatnot to come. You know, I get a lot of bills, man. Fourth biggest actor in the world, Mark Wahlberg. It comes with a lot of expenses. I got a car lot in Columbus, Ohio. I got a burger joint that Donnie runs because that's all you're fucking worth anymore, Donnie. A fucking burger flipper. Go wash my car, you motherfucker. Anyway, so we were like, there's a magazine, People Magazine. You familiar with People Magazine, Steve?
I am, mate.
My wife gets People Magazine to keep tabs on me, you know, because I'm the fourth biggest actor in the world. This paparazzi follow me around. It's a good way to keep tabs on me. She's a clever girl. She's a clever girl like a raptor on Jurassic Park. Did you ever see Jurassic Park, Steve?
I did, mate.
Yeah, what did you think of Jurassic Park? Did you think it was pretty accurate? Steve, you're an animal expert. Did you think it was accurate? Is that how dinosaurs were around in the wild?
Raptors are much smaller creatures than what is represented on the screen, but we honestly don't know enough about the biology of these creatures to make a full assessment, but I'll give it a fairly accurate rating.
What do you mean we don't know enough about them? Why don't we just go catch them in the wild and study them? Haven't people been studying dinosaurs in the wild for years?
Mate, I'm not sure you can be this dumb.
What are you talking about, Steve? It's like you just go to the park, Jurassic Park, and you get a dinosaur. They've got him right there, plain as day. How do you think they just put him on, like, a movie? Or you think it's just fake? Steve, I think I know a little something about
movies. Crikey, mate. Aren't you an actor?
Yeah, Steve, that's what I'm saying. That's why I know how these things work.
Well, mate, let me tell you this.
Steve, you never seen a dinosaur?
No, mate, because they are extinct. I was playing with them in heaven before your ass ghost called me and ruined my heavenly adventure, but now I'm here trying to find Bigfoot in the woods with you so we can find AJ, the high-fiving motherfucker, for the fine gentleman at the Drive-By Podcast, and all you ever want to do is stay in the trailer and eat Hot Pockets.
First of all, are you saying the Hot Pockets aren't delicious, Steve?
Well,
Steve,
to be quite honest, I can't taste anything right now because I'm a fucking ghost.
Yeah, well, then quit pouring that fucking beer down your fucking fake ghostly gullet and spilling the shit everywhere.
I think it's a new saying. Since I died, it was not a thing, but I am hip to the things in the world today because in heaven, I can look down and see everything. So hashtag real talk. I drink the beer to piss you off.
Okay, well, I'm not buying fucking beer anymore for you, Steve. Because you don't even have money because you're a fucking ghost. Anyway, dinosaurs are real. We'll just have to disagree to agree.
That's
Steve,
the wrong saying.
My wife gets
it's
People
backwards.
Magazine. Did you know who was on the cover of People Magazine this week, Steve?
I did not, but I'm sure you are going to tell me.
It was your fucking kid, Steve. Your fucking kids were on the cover of People Magazine this week. Growing up without dad, what it's like following in his footsteps, and how they would just love to speak to the father one more time. Steve, you gotta fucking call these kids. They are fucking dying without you out there. The boy, he's out there diving around swimming with stingrays too. He said, you know what he said in this interview, Steve? He said, I'm gonna find the one that killed my father, mate, and I'm gonna kill him and kill his children too. What, Steve? Your kid's got a fucking death wish out there playing with these fucking stingrays. Steve, you gotta fucking call him. You gotta fuck Steve. Just like we talked about at Christmas. These kids are losing their shit out there, man. A father needs his fucking son. I mean, a son needs his father. Father needs his son, too. As a father, I'm going to let you know, Steve, I don't really get how you're just not contacting these kids. It'd be fucking heartbreaking for me to be out there. I should have really brought the magazine. It actually was probably poor on me on my part to not bring the magazine to rub in your face. It's like you couldn't even see it. I would just sit the magazine on the table in front of you so you could just see where it says, like, growing up fatherless, and shows a picture of these sad little kids holding fucking animals and shit, dressed like you, with the haircut like you, trying desperately to be like the absentee father, but never quite pulling it off. Steve, and then I would just leave it there, and you'd be like, oh, mate, can you open it up so I can read it? And I'd be like, no, Steve, fuck you. You're an absentee fucking father. You have every ability and chance to contact these kids, and now you want to read the article? No, you gotta fucking sit here and just stare at it and wonder forever what it says because you can't touch anything because you're a fucking ghost, Steve. Because you're a fucking ghost. Steve, you gotta contact these kids, man.
Well, mate, I don't believe a word you said. My kids are very happy, well-adjusted. I do check in on them quite frequently. I just do not make contact because they...
Steve, you didn't even
moved
know
on, mate.
Steve, you didn't even know the kids were on the cover of fucking People magazine this week. You have literally not mentioned your children once unless I have brought them up.
I did know.
Steve,
that
your
they
kid
were,
was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon 3 weeks ago. I said, hey, yo, the boy's on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. You want to turn it on? And you were like, they're playing Family Guy. I've only seen this episode 8 times. Turn it to the Cartoon Network. Steve, you're a real fucking piece of shit.
That did not happen, sir. We don't have cable in the trailer.
No, we got satellites, you dumb shit. You can't have cable in a trailer. It's a mobile home. We got a satellite dish. And Mark Wahlberg, fourth biggest actor in the world. You think I ain't got fucking satellite?
In the
satellite?
RV, we don't have satellite. You are lying to hold up a impression to your fans that you actually spend the money that you have, but you do not, because you are a cheap piece of shit. Now, that
Steve,
being said,
I own a cola and burger joints around the nation. I think I know how to spend money to make money.
But you don't spend it to enjoy it, mate. And that is what my family is doing with the wealth I had from the show, from my job, from the large, large
Steve,
life insurance policy
Steve,
that I
Steve,
had.
Steve, okay, then tell me this. What's your daughter's fucking name, Steve?
Bindi, you asshole.
Uh-huh. And what's the boy's name? Oh! That's right, I got you, Steve! You don't even know your son's fucking name! You don't even know your son's fucking name, Steve! Everything you've said right now, I know you guys can't see it, but I am basically bent clear over talking upside down because I have so proven my point that Steve is a terrible fucking father. You're terrible, Steve. You're terrible. You're terrible. Donnie, that's all we got for this week. I just made Steve look like the worst dead father ever in the history of dead fathers. We will see you guys next week on Searching for Bigfoot and his lover, the high-fiving mother fucker.